Well, we are following where our theme leads us. And today we find ourselves in the story of Saul. So our theme, you remember, is unchanging truth in a changing world. And we are focusing on a God who does not change. If we turn to our text then, 1 Samuel 15 and verse 29, we have Samuel saying to Saul, "Also he who is the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent." The word there means change or repent. And repent, you know, means to alter your direction. So here is Samuel the prophet telling the first king of Israel that God does not change direction. Saul is a tragic figure. And you may remember that last Sunday night I asked you to pray for me because I found it very difficult looking at the story of Saul and trying to find how this idea of a God who does not change fits in to the story of Saul. Because what you find is that God tells Samuel that he regrets choosing Saul as king. So if a God who cannot change regrets a decision he makes, how does that fit? A few years ago, I remember talking to a Christian friend, and I asked her, what did she make of the story of Saul? And we were talking particularly about this idea that God regretted choosing Saul as king. And she said to me that, God was just practicing. If you like, this was God's first attempt at choosing a king. Well, I didn't agree with her then, and I don't agree with her now. We cannot think that God was having a practice run, if you like, with Saul, and he gets it right with David. This is a difficult story. It's a hard story to make sense of. What I want us to do this morning is see that there's a very clear theme in the story of Saul. And if nothing else, let's just try and be clear about the story, the theme that runs through the story of Saul. So I want you to follow me through the chapters as I point out to you the verses that describe the theme of the story of Saul. And then what we'll do is we'll end in our text. So hopefully, if all goes well, we'll finish this morning where we have started. So our text, remember, 1 Samuel 15 and verse 29, where Samuel says, "The strength of Israel," that's God, "will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent." Let's ask God to help us then as we turn to his word. Lord, we thank you that in a changing world, we are able to focus our attention on you, the God who does not change. And Lord, sometimes because so many things change around us, and because we are aware of the changes that go on within us, we age. Lord, during a day we can change. We can start off perhaps feeling tired and then get a bit more energy later on, or alternatively, we start off with energy and then get tired. Lord, our emotions change throughout the day. One minute we feel fine, the next we are irritable or we are anxious. Lord, change is that which we are very familiar with. And so there are times when we just, without realizing it, think that you too change. Lord, when we read history, we see how things have changed. And again, we're very tempted to think that somehow or other, the changes in history reflect changes in you. Lord, help us to see that you are a God who does not change. And in the weeks to come, help us to find that comforting. Help us to find it strengthening. Help us, our God, to find it hopeful that you are the God who does not change. Lord, as we turn our attention to Saul, we recognize that he's a very sad character. That in some ways, the story of Saul is the saddest personal story in the Old Testament. Lord, as we look at this man, help us to learn what you want us to learn from such a story. Help us to find the theme. And Lord, we ask you that as we follow this theme, like following and unraveling perhaps a piece of string, Lord, help us to find where it leads us. So we commend ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look for the theme then. And I want you to see that the theme of the story of Saul is emphasized again and again throughout this account. I want you to start in chapter 9 and turn your attention to verse 16. Now, people used to say, didn't they, in the past, that the preacher in the pulpit was 6 foot above contradiction. And I'm finding myself increasingly feeling disconnected from you up here in the pulpit. But nonetheless, try and follow as far as you can the verses I want you to notice. So let's start in chapter 9 and verse 16. Now, what I want you to begin by looking at is the end of verse 16. Because here's a clue to the theme. So God is speaking, and this is what we read. So let's pick up the verse at the very end. God is saying here, "For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come up to me." And the clue there to the theme is in the fact that God says to Samuel that he has heard the cry of the people of Israel. And this form of words in verse 16 is identical to a form of words earlier on in the Old Testament. Let me see if I can paint the picture for you. A solitary man who was a shepherd in the wilderness saw a sight that he had to find out more about. He saw a burning bush, and as he approached, he heard God say, "He has heard the cries of his people." With Moses, with Samuel, you have the same idea of a God who hears. And that's your clue about the theme, because the theme to unlock the story of Samuel is the theme of listening. God listens to his people. He hears their cry. Now, with Samuel, it's a cry for a king. The people of Israel, they feel different to the surrounding nations. They've had Samuel as their leader. And do you remember, Samuel may or may not have been a good leader, we are not sure. But as he got older, and his sons started to have more responsibility, his sons were turning out to be as bad as the sons of Eli, who was the leader before Samuel. So the people of Israel were longing for good leadership. They were getting tired of being failed by their leaders. So they thought the answer was in a king. So they were crying out to God for God to give them a king. Now, God did not want, we are told, the Israelites to have a king. But here, in chapter 9, he says to Samuel, "I have heard their cries." That's your first clue to the theme. Turn back to chapter 8, and you'll get another set of clues. What I want you to look at are a number of verses. Let's take a look at verse 7. Of chapter 8, and what you've got there is God saying to Samuel, "They have not rejected you, but they have rejected me." And as you go down the verses, I won't point out all of them to you, but you've got the idea there of God telling Samuel to listen to the people as the people ask for a king. There's a word that's repeated, and you know, don't you, to look out for repeated words. And the repeated word is heed. Heed the voice of the people. Listen to what they say. Hear their cries. So perhaps you can look for yourself, 1 Samuel, and we're in chapter 8, and just go down the verses, and you'll see this constant repetition to heeding, listening, hearing the voice of the people. And even when Samuel spells out for them how awful a king will be, you've still got this idea of listening to the voice of the people. So do you see how the theme is working? God is listening. Samuel is told to listen to the voice of the people. And then go back to the chapter that we read earlier. So go back to chapter 15. And this is the key chapter in the story of Saul. Do you remember when Samuel utters those famous words, 22 and 23? Samuel talks about obedience being better than sacrifice, about how rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. Do you remember what Saul says? Look at verse 24. Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, and here it is, I feared the people, and I heard their voice." So again and again, what you're having emphasized is listening. Listening, God is listening, Samuel is listening, Saul is listening. And at chapter 15 and verse 1, look again about the importance of listening. So turn to chapter 15 and the very first verse. Here is Samuel again talking to Saul, and he says, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people. Now therefore," and here's this word again, verse 1, "heed the voice of the words of the Lord." It's almost like a thread. And you can see it, if you like a red line running through the story of Saul. And you notice it cropping up in various verses as the chapters unfold. It's about listening, listening. And what seems to happen is this. God hears the people. Samuel hears the people. Saul hears the people. And that's then contrasted with the need to listen to the voice of God. It's as if the story of Saul sets up competing voices. On the one hand, it's the voice of the people. And then, as I've said to you already, sometimes God is listening, sometimes Samuel is listening. But the key thing is the voice of the people. What are they saying? And then on the other hand, what you have is the voice of God. And what is God saying? And the story is about whose voice do you listen to? Do you listen to the people? Or do you listen to God? And if you like, that's the framework for the story of Saul. Who's listening to whose voice? And I'm assuming now some of you know much about Saul. And do you remember that he makes two very big mistakes? And both mistakes involve listening. So as an example, Saul was told to wait. He was told to wait 7 days. And on the seventh day, he would be allowed to sacrifice to God when Samuel turns up. And so we find Saul waiting for those 7 days, getting more and more impatient. Eventually he decides, well, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to sacrifice to God. Surely sacrificing is a good thing. So he does it. But he didn't listen to what he was told. And because he didn't listen, the kingdom is taken away. So listening is right at the heart of the story of Samuel. And Saul, sorry. Now, there's other verses. I won't point them out to you because it's hard to follow, isn't it, verse by verse. But I hope you can see enough of how the key here is the importance not just of listening, but of whose voice you listen to. And so Saul's tragedy is he doesn't listen to the voice of God. Instead, what he seems to do is he listens to the voice of the people. Now, it's a tricky story because God listened to the same voice when he gave them a king. God told Samuel to listen to the voice of the people. But nonetheless, this seems to be Saul's great mistakes. He listens to what the people cry out for, and he doesn't listen to God. And it seems to me we can look at three reasons why he doesn't. And as we explore these reasons, it may be useful, what do you think, to think about our own experiences. We are here right now listening to the Word of God. The importance of listening to the Word of God is the story of Saul. The importance of listening to the Word of God is stressed in the New Testament. Again and again, we are encouraged to listen to the Word of God. So it could be useful, couldn't it, to look at Saul and see, well, why did he find it so difficult to listen to the Word of God? And as we explore those reasons, it may be helpful to say to ourselves, okay then, could these be some of the reasons why we feel it's so difficult to listen to the voice of God? I want to offer you at least three reasons why Saul finds it so difficult to listen to the Word of God. The first one I would suggest is the pressure of circumstances. At the time that Saul was made king, Israel had one great enemy, and that enemy were the Philistines. And this nation was far more powerful than Israel. The Philistines were constantly knocking at Israel's door. There was constant pressure from the Philistines that would often spill over into actual war. And if you ever take the time to read the story of Saul, you'll find it's a story of battle and conflict and confrontation and standoffs. Now, of course, the greatest standoff of all was when Goliath came out and challenging Israel. So Saul was under constant pressure from his circumstances. And in fact, the big reason why he was made king was to deal with the Philistines. That was God's rationale, if you like, in offering Saul as king. So here's a man who's under the constant pressure of the circumstances he finds himself in. And what circumstances often do is they give you a feeling that you've got to act. You've got to do something. When pressure is around and you feel yourself under that constant pressure, the urge is to do something. And what Saul found so hard was doing nothing, just waiting. Now, of course, if you're going to listen to God's word, it will involve waiting. And so what Saul found so difficult was balancing the waiting for God against his desire to do something. And you meet Saul as a man who's very impulsive, restless. He's always on the go. He's always looking for the next thing to do. And so his desire to do something got in the way of his ability to listen. Now, shall we think of ourselves? All of us are under pressure. We've got the pressure of circumstances. These may be personal circumstances. Whatever personal pressures you're under, be aware that those pressures may make it difficult for you to listen and wait for the word of God, to hear what God is saying to you. Because when we're under pressure, the thing that we feel we don't have is time. And Saul really felt that he had very little time. And so these stories about waiting 7 days, they're all about Saul feeling he didn't have the time to wait for 7 days. There was too much to do. The Philistines were too real a threat. Act now was Saul's great mantra. Now, when you and I are under pressure, we feel we haven't got enough time. We don't have the time to do things. We've got to sort this out and sort that out and act and do. And that's the natural response to being under pressure. What Saul's story says is, whatever pressures you're under, however much you feel you've got to do things, you've got a full day of doing things, take time to listen. Listen to what God is saying. Listen to his word and wait for God to act. Saul found it so hard, didn't he, to wait for God to act. Now, let's think about ourselves as a congregation. We're under pressure. We're under the pressure of numbers, growing older. We're under the pressure of so many things, and pressure will always mean we want to do something about the pressure. We want to act. And of course, the story of Saul is the story of waiting. Waiting for God's time. So the pressure of circumstances, that's very much part of the story of Saul. Let's give another pressure that Saul was under. And we've already mentioned it really, so it's not a surprise. Saul was under the pressure of competing voices. There were other opinions being expressed. There were people saying things around him. And he felt the pressure of the words of other people. One of the things I sometimes get when I read this story is you get a sense of the drama. And I don't know if you had that sense when we read from chapter 15, but it was a very dramatic scene. Samuel had been told to go to Saul and tell Saul that everything was over, that the game was up, that God had rejected him from being king, that in spite of all Saul's pleadings, Samuel's heart was to be unmoved, and the kingdom was taken away. So Samuel goes with that message, and he meets a man who at first doesn't know what Samuel is talking about. Of course I obeyed God. Of course I defeated the Amalekites. What do you mean, Samuel, that I've been disobedient? And initially, Saul does not understand at all what Samuel is saying. You get this picture of Saul, he's just dumbfounded at the accusation that Samuel brings him. And then after those two famous verses about rebellion and witchcraft and disobedience, the penny drops and Saul realizes what he's done. He's absolutely heartbroken and he turns to Saul and he says, Samuel, plead for me with God. And did you get that sense when we read of Samuel turning on his heels, walking away, abandoning Saul, and Saul reaches out, grabs his cloak, the cloak tears, and he pleads. Now, what's Saul's problem? He listens to the wrong voices. He's been listening to what other people say. And not in that chapter, but in other chapters, you get that famous song. Do you remember it? It might be in chapter 17. It certainly comes later on. And it's known as the Song of the Women. And you'll recall it, I'm sure. when the women of Israel are singing about Saul's accomplishments. And then they sing about David's accomplishments. And then what they hear is how Saul hears is how much greater David is compared to him. And Saul hears that. And you get the response of Saul, the pain of Saul, when he hears the people celebrating how much better David is compared to him. Now, he's still the king, and people are praising up David and his achievements. David has killed his tens of thousands. Saul has killed his thousands. And Saul starts to hear what other people are saying. And he starts to respond to what other people are saying. And he starts to allow what other people say to have an effect on him. And his behavior starts to reflect the fact that he has been listening more to the voices of other people than the voice of God delivered through Samuel. It's the pressure of competing voices. And again, let's make that up to date in our own experience. You and I are always under pressure to listen to what other people are saying. In the church, perhaps, you'll have people telling you what they think. And they might tell you what their assessment is of the church. They may sum up for you what they think about the spiritual conditions. And the difficulty is listening to what others say. And the challenge then is to listen, to hear, to pay more attention to what God is saying. There will always be that competition between the voices of others and the voices of God. And Saul's tragedy, in a way, is that he allowed himself to hear what others were saying rather than the voice of God. So it was the pressure of circumstance and the pressure of competing voices. Let's add one final one. And this was a pressure not just for Saul, but it was a pressure for all of Israel. It was the pressure to conform. What the Israelites didn't want, you remember, is they didn't want to be different. They didn't want to be different compared to the other nations. They had God as king, and they felt the uniqueness of that. They were uncomfortable with the fact that God was their king. They were probably targeted or ridiculed. They felt defenseless because they were so different to those around. The pressure to conform made it difficult for them to hear the voice of God. So again, as you take the start of the story, chapter 8, chapter 9, all of those chapters are playing out of the difference between wanting to be like everyone else or being different because you are one who follows God. And that pressure is still with us. All of us, perhaps, I don't know, do you think, younger ones, I don't know, we're under the pressure to conform and we don't want to be different. And there's something deep within us, isn't there, that tells us if we really listen to God and really hear what he says, we'll end up being different. And we might be so different, so changed, so unlike others, that we won't fit, we won't belong, we won't be like. And that can be a very deep pressure that will have its effect on us not listening, not hearing what God has to say. Now, you can look at this same story for yourself. You'll see other reasons, but those are the three that stand out for me. Pressure of circumstance, pressure of competing voices, and the pressure to conform. We don't want to be like. Well, let's tie things up for this morning, and I want you to see that what also happens here is you get reasons given to listen to God. And I want to show you two. Turn to chapter 12. And chapter 12 is the moment when Saul is crowned as king. So it's a very fancy state occasion. And the person doing the crowning is Samuel. I guess you'd expect that. And what Samuel does is he gives this very powerful sermon to the nation of Israel at the moment of Saul's coronation. And what Samuel does is, if you look from verse 7 onwards, is he gives this people in the very moment that highlights they haven't been listening to God, he gives them the reasons why they should. So if they had been listening, this moment wouldn't have arrived. But here it is. So what Samuel does is he outlines why they should have listened. So starting at verse 7, chapter 12. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all his righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers. And what Samuel does is he gives them a history lesson. He reminds them of their past. And so, as you can see, look at verse 8, starting with Jacob. He then takes them through the stories of their pasts. And he reminds them of what God has done, of the victories God has given to them, of how God has delivered them again and again, as verse 11 says, out of the hand of your enemies. The very thing that you're fearing now, says Samuel, is the very thing God has delivered you from during the course of your history. The reason why you want a king, let me remind you, says Samuel, well, God has done that for you in the past. He has rescued you. He has saved you. He has led you. He has delivered you. This is who your God is. Why should you listen to him? Because of what he's done for you in the past. And Samuel gives out his reasons. And you can see all the way down to verse 15, there's this stress on listening. Listening to God because of who God is. And then, as if he hasn't made his point clear enough, what Samuel does then is he does a miracle. He calls on God to send lightning down from the sky as confirmation that what the people really need is not a king, but to listen. The reasons are in their pasts. Well, let's do what we've done all morning then. Why should we listen to God? Why should we hear his word? Can I ask you to think about your own past experiences? The reason why you should listen to God is because of what God has done in your pasts. The reasons why we should listen to God is because of what God has done in the past. What has God done over the years? We've had moments, haven't we, in our life together when we've studied church history. Some of you like it, some of you don't. But we need to know the sort of things God has done in the past, because that's the reason to listen to God now. Why should we hear him? Because he is the God who in the past has done great and mighty things. He is the God who has taken little groups of people in a church and so blessed them that their church has thrived. He is the God who has taken one or two Christian people living in places where there's no other witness, and God has so blessed them. So can you see, you look at the past, you see what God has done, you see how God has worked, and just like Samuel, you say, why should I listen to this God? Because of what he has done. And that's how Samuel reasons with the people. This is your reason for listening. But the greatest reason to listen is our text. Let's finish there this morning. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 29. This God who has worked in the past is the God who doesn't change. Now, can you see what we do? We read that verse, verse 29. And which says, he is not a man that he should relent. And we take that verse and we say, oh, it's all about God changing his mind about Saul. That verse is a direct quote. Where from, do you think? Now, if you're clever, you will have made notes. And perhaps you've heard a sermon on this verse many years ago, and you've underlined it in your Bibles, and you've got a cross-reference. Because it's word for word taken from an earlier experience, an earlier point in Israel's history. It's taken from, do you remember it? We've looked at it just 2 weeks ago, I think. It's taken from the story of Balaam. And it's the idea that the king, Balak, had hired Balaam to be a curse to the people of Israel. And do you remember we spent a whole day a few weeks ago looking at Balaam? Balaam was hired to curse Israel. And because God is a God who doesn't change, and because God is the God who says he will bless his people, Balaam was not allowed to curse Israel. This God who doesn't change wouldn't allow one person, one situation, to undo the work of God. So what goes on here then, when Samuel comes and he says, God is not a man that he should relent, Samuel echoes the words of Balaam. And it's deliberate in this way. Balak the king wanted to curse Israel. God wouldn't allow it. Saul the king has now become a curse to the people of Israel. Because he's not listening, because he's listening to the voice of the people, he has become a curse to the Israelites. So the God who doesn't change, who couldn't allow Balaam to curse the Israelites, cannot allow Saul to curse the Israelites. Even if he's their king, God cannot allow, because God has decided to bless his people. His people will always be under the blessing of God. So God takes Saul away like he took Balak away, because the God who does not change cannot allow any curse to come upon his people from outside or from inside. Now, that's what's going on here with Saul and Samuel. The unchanging God, who has blessed the people in the past, delivered them from their enemies, given them victory all around, cannot change now into a God who will allow his people defeat. He can't change. So he has to take Saul away so that God can continue to bless his people. That's what's going on with Saul. Saul has become a curse, so God has to remove him. This God who doesn't change. And I want to end with this. We have a God who doesn't change. Our God cannot allow his people to be cursed. This God who has undertaken to bless his people, to bless his church, to cause his church to know his smile, is a God who cannot change. And if you're honest with yourself, If you're not very hopeful as a Christian today, if you're not very encouraged, if you're not full of confidence that God will bless, if you're doubting that he will hear your prayers, if you think our days are over as a congregation, it's because somewhere in your heart there's a sneaky little idea that our God today is different to the God of the past. There is something somewhere working like a nagging little doubt that is whispering to us, God has changed. He's not like he was. He's not going to do what he did. Something's happened, and God is somehow different now. God is not a man that he should change. This God, who is our God, who loves us and has promised us and has promised his son and has promised his church, is the God who is the same God. And the story of Saul is, listen to this God. Hear his word. Hear what he says. Don't let circumstance, don't let other voices, don't let pressures to conform change you. Hear what God says, because God does not change. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you that you are a God who does not change, that all the history of your works is a history that speaks to us here in our day, and encourages us to continue to have confidence in a God who does not change. You're not here to curse. You're not here to be unmoved. You are the God who hears your people. So you want us to hear you. Lord, above all else in life, all the pressures that are all around, help us to hear what you are saying to us and to have confidence in your voice and in your word. Amen.